Welcome to episode 82 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Zane.
I'm Josh. I'm second.
My name is Sean.
Hello.
We're back. It's been a good week.
Such a good week.
It feels like a long week.
It's been a long week.
It's been like a week that feels like a month.
Or longer.
It might have been longer.
It may have been longer than a month,
but it's
only been a week because it's a weekly podcast.
Welcome to Trump's America.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's what happens when you put the guy that doesn't do things
and the
means that we control time now.
That's right.
He's a time lord.
So it's the 82nd week of this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Josh and Zane have always been the co-hosts.
Always.
No one else has ever been on the show.
That's definitely true. As far as I'm concerned. Sure.
And Josh has never missed an episode, and...
Ever.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm perfect attendance.
Speaking of perfect attendance,
yeah.
Josh, what are you reading?
I got a book. I got a new book.
You did?
I'm sorry. No,
cool,
I'm trying
did?
To remember the name of it.
Go ahead.
The Name of the Wind.
If only you had... No way.
I got
it. Are you serious?
Yeah, I haven't started it yet.
Dude.
By Patrick Rothfuss.
That's what I'm reading.
That's so weird.
Zane, you're skipping ahead because we haven't asked you yet.
But it's so exciting.
That's weird.
I was going to tell you to read it because I thought you'd really, really like it.
Well, good thing I'm psychic.
So what did you think of the end of the Devil in the White City?
It was great. And when the movie comes out, I will discuss the ending further.
Great.
To compare the two.
What made you decide to pick up...
I borrowed it from someone, and I picked it up, literally, physically, and I looked at it, and he said, you can borrow that book. And I said, okay.
I mean, I will say to both of you, who have recently discovered this book in the past week,
okay,
since we've done our last podcast, that I was... You know,
is this the part where you pretend like I didn't want to read this book because you read it and talked about how good it was?
No, this is the part where I tell you that I told you how good it was.
And I believed you and eventually started reading it.
Yeah. Now you both act like...
We discovered it because we did.
You just like turned over a rock and were like,
just exciting that Josh picked up the same book that I did.
Yeah.
That was the excitement.
All right, so
also,
in 7
I'm the
years,
first person.
We'll find out how Josh feels about it.
Exactly.
Okay. So, Zane, what are you reading?
Well, I'm currently reading The Name of the Wind
by Patrick Rothfuss.
Yes.
That's so weird. I'm reading that book.
This isn't fun anymore.
What else?
It was never fun to begin with.
I kind of gave up on the Graveyard Apartment. It was
just not
my jam.
May I ask why? And at the risk of suppositioning... The answer? Go ahead.
No, the answer is not what you think it is. But it's just kind of boring. It moved really slow.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of trouble. This is totally unfair. It's like a Zane problem.
Oh, here we go.
I had a lot of trouble with the names, honestly, because I kept confusing people.
Okay.
And I think because the book was so slow, like I'd read a little bit and I'd put it down and kind of walk
away
from it. And then I'd pick it back up and I'd be like, wait, who is who? Because they're Japanese names, so
yes.
It's hard for me, like, it's hard for me, honestly, it was hard keeping track of genders, like, even just, like, wait, is that the dad's name?
Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
It was just, it was hard, that's like a totally, that's a Zane problem.
No,
it's not like a problem with texts, it's just me having trouble keeping track of names.
My issue with the Graveyard Apartment was, the cultural differences.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, and it was the... there are a lot of places where I felt like the translation was probably very good, but I always feel when I read translated texts, like, that something gets lost.
I feel that way about Sanskrit. I don't know what they're saying.
No, I just... like that the intention gets lost, or, like, the power of a sentence... Or of a symbol or something gets lost on me as, like, an American reader.
And did you finish it?
I didn't finish it.
How far did you go? I mean, like, not in page count.
I have heard that about that book that, like, the last 30 pages or whatever is supposed to be, like, really good.
I wouldn't...
Yeah, it plotted. I got,
I would
like,
tell you that the last 30 pages didn't tell you anything that the first 30 pages didn't give
you. Okay. I got, like, halfway through, and I felt like I understood what kind of a story it was. But it was just, I couldn't motivate myself to keep reading it. And I was getting to this point where it was like, I have reading to do.
Yeah.
And then I got other books and I was like, but I really want to sit down and read these. And that's when I decided it was probably time to give up on it instead of, like, putting myself through reading it. Which is hard. That's not fair. It's not the book's fault that I
didn't. It's not me. It's you, book.
Like, it's a really good ghost story, but it's, well, it's caught up in this very weird, like, translation.
It was the pacing for me. It just couldn't keep my interest. Like, it wasn't...
Oh, I can see that.
It wasn't not interesting, but it also wasn't interesting enough that I was like, I really want to sit around and read this book.
That was not my issue with it, but I absolutely know why you said that. Because the pacing is very, like... It sprints and then it slows down, and it slows down, and it slows down. And honestly, like, you know... Ultimately, the payoff of the horror, having finished the book, which you couldn't be bothered to do.
We're back.
It's only been a week.
It's been a long week.
Was not to me worth it.
All right.
What else are you reading, Zane?
Yeah,
don't you read, like, 16 books?
I didn't read that many. Well, obviously, I didn't even finish one, and I'm not finished the other, so I really didn't read that many books. But I did...
She doesn't feel bad.
I did finish one book, and I read Disco Bloodbath by James St. James.
Oh, James St. James. Yeah.
That's a great title, by the way.
It's since been changed to Party Monster to reflect the movie.
No, Disco Bloodbath.
That's the better name.
Yeah. So much better.
It's nonfiction, but it was so good.
Wait, it's nonfiction?
I've been meaning to read this book for a while. It's about the
Michael Halleck.
Who,
Club Kids.
He's a club kid. And
no idea.
The 90s.
Pretend I'm the person in the audience who doesn't know what the fuck
in the
90s,
I mean, you know what club kids are, right?
Yes, I know what club kids are.
Also the 80s.
I've seen Stefan on SNL.
In the 90s, Michael Alec killed a drug dealer in his apartment.
Good.
And chopped him up.
All drug dealers
put him
die.
In the river and got caught for it.
He's in jail
James
now.
St. James. No, he's out of jail.
Oh, he's out?
Yeah, good. He got out in like 2015.
All murderers should get out of jail.
But James St. James was another club kid and a good friend of Michael Alec's, and he wrote this book.
Played by Seth Green.
Whole thing. And they made a movie out of it with Macaulay Culkin and Seth Green.
Yeah.
Called Party Monster.
Okay.
Anyway, I've been meaning to read this book for a long time, and I'm so glad I finally did. It was awesome.
Is it written like, is it like, this is the story of the things that happened, or is it written like a novelization of...
No, it presents itself as nonfiction, but it's in James St. James's voice, which is very specific. It's like, it's nonfiction, but it's like, it's really funny and it's really sarcastic.
Yeah, he's real sarcastic.
And it's like this very, it's like a really interesting, it's a really good read.
What's the funny part about the murder of
his voice? James St. James's voice. I mean, and a lot of it is just the story of like being a club kid.
Like the ridiculousness of the time tied to this like ridiculous murder. Like, like that this like, kid from like, where is he from, like Iowa or something?
Yeah.
He like shows up and he's like,
pretending like you've read this book, Josh?
I know about the stuff. I know about like the story.
I mean, there's a movie about it and there's like documentaries.
Yeah, there's
about
a documentary
it. It's not
about
hard
it.
To know about Michael Alec.
Oh, okay. I don't know it. I don't know it.
Other, all the cool, all the like, cool club kids know about
I
it.
Like
Sean.
That Sean is like mad at you for knowing something. Well, if you didn't read the book,
how do you know
about it?
How do you obtain information without books?
That is not what I said out loud.
Anyway, obviously it's very dark and it's at times actually very scary.
We're back, baby.
Yeah, it's like,
but it's
super dark.
And it's written in like a very stylized kind of way, but it's so good.
It almost sounds like
it's a quick read too.
Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it almost feels like a real life American Psycho.
Kind of. A little bit.
Like that same kind
It's like trashy. It's like a trashy American Psycho.
Yes.
Like it's not.
Yes.
It's They're not
That's
like
better.
Important people.
Oh
they're
my god,
just...
you guys should see the eyes these two are making at each other. Like, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I agree with you. Blink, blink,
Man,
blink.
Someone feels cornered.
He didn't know about
isolated.
Michael Alec.
Anyway, I highly recommend it. And it makes James St. James has written other stuff, and it makes me really want to read his other stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, what is his other book called?
He wrote that
in like 2000s.
Probably the Iliad.
Was it the Iliad?
I'm pretty sure it's the Iliad.
Who wrote it?
James St. James. That's what I'm saying. Totally right.
You can't prove it.
I just Googled it. He's right. So, and then I have more books on my list, but then I knew I should have saved Name of the Wind to the end, but then I picked it up and I started reading it, and it was like instant. I was like, I'm in love with this book.
Isn't it?
And I was worried about it because that problem that I have, like, with names, especially, in translated books, sometimes I have that problem
with fantasy books because every word
is a nonsense word.
It's crazy. Yeah.
And names are nonsense names sometimes. And I like that, but also it makes it difficult for me to keep track of everyone.
Who are you cheering for? Who have to remember?
Are we talking about? Yeah. Is that a city? Is that a person?
What kind of proper name?
It gets hard. And like, if it's really immersive writing, it's easier to be immersed in it. But like some of it is like, it's distractingly hard. Like, that's one of my problems, one of my many problems.
That's how Warcraft
with George R. R. Martin is like,
yeah.
I can't keep track of all these people and who is who. Like, it's just, it's hard. It's an obstacle for me when I'm reading. And I was afraid of that, especially because all the descriptions of this book were like stories within stories within stories. And I was like, oh no. And I really wanted to read a fantasy book, but I wasn't sure. But as soon as I sat down, I was like, I'm not going to have that problem with this book or any kind of confusion. It's like worth it to sit there and suss out and be like, oh yeah, it's that person.
I need to read this.
I think I mentioned it on the show before that the first time I picked up The Name of the Wind, I gave up on it after 70 pages because I was like,
you didn't want to stop on 69.
Because I was like, this is not what I was expecting. Yeah. And then I got into a lull of reading and I picked it up again. And the experience was similar to what Zane just described, where it was like, no, this is beautiful and it's gorgeous. And I promise you, if you keep going with it, and Josh, when you get to it, it's so worthwhile, and it's so incredible.
I really enjoy that it's a fantasy novel, and it's very dense, and there's so much great world building in it, but at no point does it feel... Sometimes I feel like fantasy novels are specifically written to be difficult to read.
Yeah, it's supposed to be hard, right?
You know, because it's like, if that's how it challenges you, it's like it's actually difficult to get through the text, and this is so... I don't want to say it's easy to read as in like...
No, and that was my thing.
The storytelling is so good. It's so easy to follow, and you just get so wrapped up in it. Like, it's not difficult for me, even when I have to put it down and walk away. When I come back, it's not like, oh my God, what's happening? It's like, I'm right here with you.
I
didn't quit on
it because I was bored, because I felt like it was too complex. I quit on it because I just wasn't in the right place to read it.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes like, you have to be
there.
I agree.
Right. Yeah.
I need to get out of, like, the real world for a while, so... This will do it.
This will definitely do it.
You're going to love it.
Yeah, you are.
How many swords are there? Lots.
A lot of swords.
Right, I'm in it. Seriously? Because I know you.
And loot.
Loot!
It's like Skyrim the novel.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go home now. Bye, everyone. Good doing the show. See you next week.
Cool.
Claire, come leave me.
Sean, what have you been reading?
What have I been reading?
When? What haven't you been reading?
Oh, God.
List is probably shorter.
In the last week. I have read several novels. I'm just saying, man.
Let's go already.
Well, the thing is, I got into a period, I think, that can be traced on the show where I wasn't reading a lot. I was watching The Wire. That'll do it. And then I watched a series of unfortunate events.
I watched that. It was cool.
And I watched several other shows. I got like into this binge-watching thing. And I have moved on from it, and I'm back into reading again.
Okay.
So, I'm going to sort of do a...
Lightning round.
A lightning round. Thank you. That's a great way to say it.
That's why I'm here.
So, I will start with, I read The Collapsing Empire by John Scalzi.
Mm-hmm.
And John Scalzi is one of my favorite sci-fi authors. And The Collapsing Empire...
Is that out?
It is out. It just came out, I think, this week.
Okay.
But you got it before that.
I did.
Because you're an insider. Insider, Washington insider.
Yes, I'm a Washington insider.
Which is why he has a John Scalzi book to read.
Yeah.
And it's called The Collapsing Empire, and it has nothing to do... That's about America. It has nothing to do with our world.
Okay.
It's about the future of humanity. I'm going to try to remember it's about 10,000 years in the future.
That's a far time.
And it's... I have a lot to talk about. The conceit is that we've discovered... without explanation, this way to travel through space that is faster than the speed of light.
Yeah.
We don't know how it works. It's we just know
like
that.
Like event horizon.
We know that it works.
It's like contact.
So we have these different outposts to put things on. And then...
Oh, it's like No Man's Sky.
Kind of. Yeah. But you gotta, it's entertaining.
How many times do you gotta laser beam a pine cone to get the stuff inside of it?
But the... Yeah. Well said. But it's... there's a character in it who you will love. Her name is Escaping Me. It's...
That's a weird name.
It's a super weird name, even for a sci-fi novel.
Anyway.
It's the future, so fuck it.
Anything's possible.
Anyway, read The Collapsing Empire by John Scalzi.
This sounds cool. No, seriously, I'm interested in
this. It's really, really, really good.
Are there like...
And it's set up to be series, if not... I'm sorry, at least a trilogy, if not a series.
Okay.
Because with 10 pages left to go, I'm like...
I need more.
Dude, you gotta... It was more like... Dude, you got a lot to wrap up.
Yeah,
like, there's a lot of shit left up in the air.
I kind
of
felt that way about The Fold. I was like, well, what about all this stuff?
Yeah,
like,
right?
What's like, gonna happen going with this stuff? But are they going to make more of them?
So then I read Killing Is My Business by...
The Joker.
Adam Christopher. And it's a sequel to a book I talked about way back, maybe before you guys were on the show?
I don't think
that time doesn't exist.
It's by a British author named Adam Christopher, and it's this,
Adam Christopher.
Go it's ahead. It's a noir detective series where the detective.
What was the first one called?
The first one was called Made to Kill.
Okay.
These are like James Bond titles.
No, it's more like Dashiell Hammett. It's this the detective name. His name is. Ray Electromatic, and he's a 7-foot-tall robot.
That's cool.
Who was a detective in the 1950s LA.
So it's like a alternate history, sort of? Like a make-believe history?
Yeah. I think cool. I made you read the first one, Zane. Mm-hmm. No? Okay.
I would have remembered
a 7-foot-tall detective robot.
Made to Kill? You don't remember it had a yellow cover? And
I think I read it.
That was the watch.
All right, cool. So I read that. Totally awesome. Don't want to say too much about it. It's not out yet, but if you read the first one, pick it up.
Pick it up.
Hop, hop.
Rude boy. And then I read, there was one more that escapes me.
We're going on 20 minutes here.
I know. What's going on here? But I have been reading a book called The Knicks. The N-I-X, Knicks.
Not the
New York Knicks.
That would be a boring book because they suck.
It was heralded Nathan Hill, I think his name is. He was a first-time novelist. It was heralded by Entertainment Weekly and Stephen King as the best novel of 2016. And it is not the kind of thing that I usually enjoy.
Okay.
It is like a Jonathan Franzen novel. It's like Americana... people in the current time being miserable about
30-something.
Yeah. Like, you know, why are we so sad all the time? Mm. And how does it relate to how our parents were sad when they were coming up as baby boomers?
It's like a Terrence Malick novel.
And how does it relate to their parents' relationships and blah, 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 blah. And again, like I said, not the kind of thing I usually get into. But... this guy, it's his first published novel. I don't know if he's done other things. My fucking God, what a wordsmith. Like, his ability to just craft sentences. Like, the way he uses the language is so gorgeous. And I really thought I was going to finish it before I got here tonight.
Boo.
But they don't have self-driving cars.
I was on the train, and I'm coming home from the train. I literally have 5 pages left.
Boo! You that ruined counts. It.
And,
loose.
And I have to say, with loose. 5 pages left, don't know where it's going to go.
Weird.
You don't read the last page?
No.
Yeah.
Do you?
No.
See? Holy shit. Save that for another show.
I think we've done that.
Same.
I don't remember doing it.
We've definitely had this discussion before.
All right, well, cool. We're 20 minutes into the show, and we'll get to the topic in a minute.
In a minute. Remember that.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Episode 82 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Sean.
I'm Zane.
I'm Josh.
And tonight we've got a really important thing to get to talk about.
It's yes. Super important.
Super important.
We
probably
sure do.
The 82nd most important thing we've ever talked about.
Do you remember it? If you don't read it?
Yes, of course I do.
Yeah, me too.
The emotional response of emotions.
How they relate to mediums.
To the relations of...
You came up with this awesome thesis title. You
yeah, I know. I don't have it in front of me, Zane.
I do.
Yeah, because you write things down.
The power of literature to stir emotional reaction, a comparison to other media.
Holy crap. I'm in school.
So yeah, it was an idea that came to me about how we respond emotionally to the things that we read.
Yeah.
And specifically literature, not, you know, newspapers,
right.
Not blogs,
right. A story.
And not like, no, like a book and
yeah.
not just a story. Like it can be anything literature related.
Okay.
And I'm willing to put it out there in the first place. And
I bet we're going to agree on this, which is a shocker.
Pretty sure we're not, because what I was going to open with was the 3 novels that, as an adult, have made me cry.
Are the same 3 that I didn't read.
Yes, then we are totally in agreement.
What were they? I want to know. How does it hang? Wait up, straight up. Hold up, Mr. Lover.
the first was 7 Eves by Neal Stephenson.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. No, it was not 7 Eves. It was Anathem by Neal Stephenson.
You made her cross it out.
It's okay. She's got a pen. It's not...
Anathem.
Anathem by Neal Stephenson.
Okay.
Do I need... Should I... Actually, before we get... Before we go
Number
further
two,
with
two,
this...
Number two, two, two.
Before we go further with this, we have to decide whether or not we explain to people what it is that made us feel those emotions. So, can I spoil why Anathem made me cry?
You can go right ahead.
Is this a roundabout way of asking if you can give mild spoilers?
Just tell them.
Major spoilers is the question.
Do
not my
it.
Major.
Well, how are we going to talk about it if we don't? Okay, there's going to be spoilers and, I don't know, skip to whenever.
That's okay.
Well, okay, so Anathem is this, it's a Neal Stephenson novel, so it deals with really large topics, and it's basically about the idea of multiverse, like universes, where they all get to meet up with each other.
Yeah.
But it's told in a very introspective way. It's told from the point of view of one monk.
Okay.
And it's this idea of he lives in this very small universe and discovers through the course of his life that his world is so much larger and is part of a multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
And then towards the end of the novel, it all narrows back down and turns into this love story where he falls in love with one other woman. And the end of the book literally is him saying, "And I have no more to say because I'm done with her. I'm sorry, because I'm in love with her."
Right.
And it, like, it made me cry.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fine.
Second one was... You're writing this down, right, everybody?
I'm not.
Okay, cool.
Zane is.
The Philip Pullman, his Dark Materials book.
Okay.
And it's not the end of the book, but if you know anything about it, or if you don't, I'll spoil it for you.
Bill Pullman.
That's apparently what we're doing. No, it's not Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman's nope. Dark novel book.
Definitely not that.
Got it.
The part of the Bill Pullman collection.
You don't have it. It's about this girl, Lyra, or Lyra, depending on who you listen to.
I would
to.
Say Lyra.
Well, the author says Lyra.
She's a Lyra. He. Bill Pullman.
And through the course of the first two, it's a trilogy, and in the course of the first two novels, you meet her, and she has this demon or
okay.
familiar. It's yeah. like her, you know, emotional second.
Right.
Who you learn everyone in her universe has one of
okay.
these things. And you never, they're not really allowed to go more than like several feet away from the person. And in the third book, there's a moment where Lyra and her demon are forcibly pulled apart from each other.
Okay.
And the way he writes the first two books and the way he introduces these characters, when that happens, like, I literally threw the book down. I'm not kidding. I threw the fucking book down.
It lit on fire.
Like, no. This is not what you do. This is not the way.
And that made you cry.
Yeah, it made me fucking cry.
Yeah. I'm not laughing at you crying.
I'm going to say the other one because I've been talking a lot. Zane, talk about how you get emotionally wrapped up in books. Or Josh, it's up to you now.
I think books make people feel more emotional because you're imagining the movie in your head and you can directly put your life experience into the characters. So it's much more emotional than a movie could be. Even though there's some pretty fucking sad movies that people cry at a lot.
So yeah, no, I'm...
Sorry. I was just assuming letting you, like...
Stumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny.
She's like sitting back I'm and dumb. Just letting us be assholes tonight.
It's not my responsibility to make sure you aren't assholes.
It might
you
be.
You can weigh in and stop us from being assholes, which you've done before.
I don't remember that.
Well, go back and listen to this show.
No.
But I agree with you, Josh. Actually, and that was something I was going to get to later.
I beat you.
It's fine. It's not a race.
It is.
Then you win.
Yay.
Well done. The idea that the interaction in media between a reader and a book is more intimate and more emotional than a viewer to a film.
I think it overall is more. I don't know. It can go either way sometimes. Like, there are some, like, really fucking sad movies, and, like, then just immediately, because it's visual, but it's not your visual. And I think because when it's your visual, it's more meaningful to you.
Sometimes books, I think, they give you more time to, like, dwell on that emotion. So, like, I think that ends up being crucial to why sometimes books can move you more emotionally, because it just literally the time it takes to read those words and process those words is longer than just watching something happen on screen. And I think that a lot of times that becomes very obvious when you watch film adaptations books that you like, where you already know the story, and like the impact is lessened, of course, because you know it's coming. But like when a character on screen, they die and then they're dead, you know. But like when you read that in the book and it's this whole thing and it builds up to it, and like you said, you're imagining it in your head and you're given that real opportunity to be in the character's shoes and be in the character's head and see it through their eyes, it can hit you harder.
And there's a lot of evidence to that, like the idea that you know, there are a lot of films that we have all watched and consumed that are
Bill Pullman films,
based on
a lot of which are Bill Pullman films,
based on books, and you know, the vast minority of them, or the exceptions that prove the rule, are where we go, that felt just like it felt when I read the book. Like, that doesn't
What would be one example? Do you have an example? I can't think of one.
Well, The Mist.
Okay, yeah.
The Stephen King. It was based on a Stephen King short story.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I will say that Darabont fucked up the ending.
He ends it weird,
Not what I'm... That's not the point of it. But, like, the emotional attachment that I felt reading the short story was very similar to the emotional attachment I felt to the film.
Yeah.
Like, this idea that nobody knows what's going on, and everybody sort of puts their own filter on it. Like, right. There's the Marcia Gay Harden character that is like this uber Christian.
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah.
She decides that it's like the end of time, and like there's a lot of people in the what's his
convenience
name?
Convenience store.
It's a grocery store. I can't think of the guy's name. The guy that plays the grocery clerk. I want to say Tobey Maguire, but it's not Tobey
Maguire. Bronson Pinchot.
His name's Toby.
Keith.
Guillermo del Toro.
Anyway, Guillermo del Toro.
Anywho.
Bill Pullman.
The idea that there is, like she's uber Christian, and then there's, like, two or three characters that are just secular, like, this isn't a biblical thing that's going on.
Right.
And then what happens is everyone in the middle is forced to pick one side or the other. And as the audience member or the reader, and, you know, Stephen King, because he's Stephen King, doesn't really give you the choice to pick between one or the other. Like, he writes it in a way that the secular guy is right and the Christian is wrong.
Also, okay, yeah.
Like, it's, you know, it's...
Right.
And that's how the movie plays out, too.
Yeah, yeah, in the movie she's much more, they're just like, sort of like, you know.
Yeah, it's like...
They're like, whatever, lady.
Yeah, but she wins people over to her side because of the things that go on in the story.
Yeah, well, when shit starts fucking hitting the fan, it's like, it could be anything, right?
And the other thing that happens in that book, and I think that happens to affect our emotions, are there are kids involved.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, there's something that gets into our way. I don't know, in the way of, is the way to say it.
It's our DNA.
Like, that when children are involved... It becomes a different thing.
It's in our genes.
That's a point to your hoodie.
We're designed to feel that way because it's important.
Your butt. Dude. He pointed to his butt, you guys.
He pointed to his leg. He pointed to his creamy hamstring.
My hams.
As far as I can see from this side, he's pointing to that.
Oh, I need a good bony ham butt. Rub.
I think too when animals are involved.
Yeah, animals definitely.
Oh, okay.
Every time
you see the innocence in the animal, and it makes you cry.
Yeah.
I don't read a lot of fiction that has animals.
Anytime that like anytime it's like when you watch a movie, it's like the dog dies, and it's like that. Why?
okay.
But I was specifically thinking of Joe Hill's Heart Shaped Box.
What was the animal?
That's
in that?
A Kurt Cobain.
They
song.
Have dogs in that.
Yeah.
They have two dogs with them.
Wait, Josh, did you not read that?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I don't know that it'd be up his alley.
There's no swords. And dogs die. I'm not into that. I'm not reading a dog death book.
I don't know that dogs die. We haven't said that.
He just said that. She just said there's
dogs.
She
did not say dogs die. She said there was two dogs in the book.
Yeah, and we're talking about dying and kids dying and stuff. So I'm pretty sure that the dogs die.
They die Easter eggs for Easter.
That's but anyway, boring. Like that. I mean, that book was so scary, but it was like very gripping. Anytime the dogs were involved, I felt
interesting.
Like I remember being
that's
like,
funny.
Like having like, oh my god, no! Like anytime that the dogs were involved in any way, it was just
I don't want the dogs
that's
to die.
Me.
Have you ever laughed out loud in a book?
Oh yeah. Like, I laugh out loud a lot.
I want to say yeah, but I'm having trouble remembering a specific instance.
Dude, I like read stuff all the time, like just stuff, like tweets or news. Yeah, I read lots of stuff all the time, guys. It's bigly into reading, like whatever I'm reading, and like I'll just like laugh because like I don't know, I like to hear myself laugh sometimes.
I said books though. Like I said, books.
A book? I mean, probably. I can't remember a specific time.
Josh is totally presidential.
This guy's
right
totally
now.
Trump, man. Trump
I'm ruining the world.
I think I don't read a lot.
We're gonna pay for your golf vacation, man.
I don't read a lot of comedy books per se.
I don't mean comedy books. I mean books. That
I think
even in their like when they try to be serious.
I'm about to make an argument that I don't know if you're gonna get upset about, but I would say a laugh is not as memorable to me as like a cry.
Yeah.
Basically, like I cry at a lot of stuff, so I'm having trouble remembering specific
instances. She's crying right now.
I was like, I don't read a lot of comedy. And then I was thinking in my head, I think there was once or twice where I laughed out loud when I was reading Disco Bloodbath.
Okay.
But it just doesn't stick with me as like
it's a quick moment.
Yeah,
right,
it's like, aha.
Yeah.
And then you move on. Like that laugh didn't stick with me.
No, I don't mean to.
I laughed out loud when I read that fucking book about the funny stuff by the Simpsons writer guy.
That book. I actually know what he's talking about.
The skinny book. I don't remember the name of it.
The Time Machine?
The Time Machine Did It.
Yeah, that's it.
I laughed out loud at that book all the time. It's funny.
Dude, you are so lucky that Zane remembers everything.
What? You don't remember giving that to me?
You guys both did.
I do remember giving it to you, and I remember that it's very funny, but if you'd given me 15 minutes to remember what the fuck you were talking about in that vague description you gave, I don't know that I got
I'm sorry. Well, it wasn't
He's
written
read,
by
like,
Bill
five
Holman.
Books in the entire
yeah.
time
of Think of the five books I've read.
82 weeks of the four books you've
Which
read.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. And I may be more attuned to it because the book that I'm reading right now, The Knicks...
Mm-hmm.
Not the team.
No, it's not the team. Is
I don't
want to
get
so
sued.
Charged emotionally, and
right.
like there's a lot of highs and lows. And he is such a gifted writer that, like, I do
he
laugh out loud,
out. Yeah.
but I also cry. Like, this book has made me cry a couple of times.
Yeah,
but it's also made me like laugh. Literally, like
yeah.
ha, 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 ha.
There are books like I mean, if,
ha, 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 that's how I laugh. Like, when I laugh, it's like, ha, 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 ha.
Wait, one more time. That wasn't it. No, that wasn't
it's
it.
Too much now.
Skyrim.
That makes me laugh and cry.
But, how about anger? Has a book ever made you angry?
Yeah, I read a book one time about creativity in college, and it pissed me off. I fucking stopped reading it. I was like, I don't care if I get an F. I was like, this book is fucking stupid.
Okay, go on. Because
it was by some guy.
What was the course?
It was called Creativity. It was about how, like, you can, like, be creative.
I
like,
think I remember you yelling about this.
Oh, my God. It was like.
On the show?
No, maybe not on
well,
the show.
Shut up.
The guy had he was Indian. He was an Indian author. I don't remember his name. But it was fucking insulting. It was dumb. It was like, this assumption was like, well, anybody could be creative, which I agree with. Like, anybody can be, but you got, like, there's like a 5-step fucking plan to be creative. That's like the opposite of being creative. There's no like, I'm going to sit down and do my creative homework now and be creative.
It was the idea of like teaching someone creativity.
Right. And it's like, it was like a postmodern like stance on it, which
by the way, I have to say, speaking of things that make you angry, postmodern, that's not a thing. That's not a thing.
Okay.
What does that even fucking mean? All right.
There's modern is like if you work hard at something. Modernism, work hard, it's worth something. Postmodernism is everything's worth something. To an extent, I agree with that. But it's not that simple because like not everything is valuable in the same way. Like somebody who like creates like a painting with their dick hole just because they want to do that today. It's not the same as somebody who like works really hard at painting with their dick hole and is good at painting with their dick hole. Like there's a difference between those things in value.
I was gonna say,
in creative value.
You've just given me so much to think about.
The difference is and not to contradict you,
okay.
but the difference is I don't see the difference between I don't see the difference as being the guy whose dick hole just sprays and the guy who like holds his dick hole to make the best thing.
Yeah.
Zane's covering her face with her hands. It's his example.
It's a good
example. Because what you said at the end was value.
Right.
And
that's the trick.
The question is, what does value mean?
Right.
To me,
this is a whole other episode.
What does it sell for?
This is a whole other
episode. What does it sell for? Which one?
They're both being creative, but there is a cynicism to the less creative. Like it was a cynical look at creativity, I thought. My opinion, I could be wrong.
All right, this is the next week's episode.
Okay, we'll come back.
So the moral of the story is lots of things make you guys angry. Moving on.
Wow.
She's right, we're angry.
She does not like to talk about dick hole paintings.
That's the next genre of painting.
Note to self.
All right. Anyway.
No, but I mean, you know,
we could talk about this all day.
But I mean, like, you know, if you sit down and watch the news, right, it angers up your blood.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Yes.
And very intensely.
Mm.
And I don't just mean now, like in the current.
No, it's always me. It's
like you could have been angry when Obama was the president. Whatever. You could have been angry when George W. Bush was president, or go back, like whatever it was. Like there, that medium of
it's caustic
journalism on television is made to make you angry, right?
Right. Mm.
So if we're doing comparative study, is there any parallel in writing or literature that gets you to that emotional point that quickly?
It's not quick. It's like Zane said, it's a time issue. It's a four-dimensional thing. Like, it's more, I think, of a journey. So therefore, like, it's like a good video game, right? Like, if you spend 10 hours playing a game, you're not going to like it as much as if you play Skyrim for 1,000 hours like we all have. Like, you're invested in it more.
I think sometimes, too, with books, like, there's a careful selection process often of what you read. So, like, if I sat down to read, like, a Glenn Beck book or something.
Why?
Exactly. But, like, it would piss me off.
Right.
Why would I read that? Like, I'm trying to think, like, there's definitely been times where I've been angry, like, on a character's behalf.
Right.
You know, in a book. But it's not the same as, like,
being mad at
it's
the
not
book.
Personally offensive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if it is, I'm not likely to spend
continue.
My time
yeah.
reading that. Like, I don't often hate read things.
Yeah.
Also,
I can get tricked into, like, hate reading an article.
Like,
or hate watching a news segment.
Right.
You
like,
know?
What would stick with you more? And I'm asking this question, I think, presupposing the answer. Reading a novel that makes you angry, or watching a 15-minute segment on a news channel that makes you angry.
Reading a novel would make
right?
stick
like,
with you more.
Like, there's something more lasting about the medium of reading.
I think it's literally because it's burning pathways in your brain.
It's the way that,
it's
that
physical.
You have to consume that.
It's physically changing you, right?
Yeah. Right.
Like, we have talked about this before. Like, the actual science of reading is very different than just watching something.
Yeah.
It imprints on your brain in a very different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So read more books, you guys.
Do it.
No.
No. Don't be like Josh, read more books.
No, Zane, you should read books.
No.
What?
Oh, God.
She's so fucking difficult. She voted for Trump, you guys.
Yeah.
Don't tell people that.
4 times.
What? Oh, that makes sense.
Most of them in Russia.
You're going to do it. Do it right.
I wrote his name down in Cyrillic on this one.
That counts for 3 votes.
Da. That means yes.
Nope. Oh, it does. Yeah, all right. All right, cool. All right.
All right. Okay, we'll be back in a minute.
Yeah.
Good work.
This is episode 82 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Josh.
Hi, my name is Sean.
I'm Zane.
You blew it.
So what do we do in this segment? Josh never remembers, Zane.
I don't even remember.
We wrap things up.
Mm-hmm. Wrap it up.
And we go back to the vault of listener email from things we got from last week.
It's a vault.
Also, I have to say, I have heard the feedback from the Reddit page about the episodes that have gone missing, and I have reached out to the people that are hosting our podcast, and I'm not terribly happy with the response. So
fixed, though.
Has it been fixed?
Yeah, I think they fixed it.
Uh-oh, now we look dumb.
There's a follow-up post on that Reddit thread that they were back.
Oh, okay. I'm still not terribly happy with the host, and stay tuned, because if you follow us on Podomatic, maybe get ready to follow us somewhere else, because I'm not terribly happy. Anywho.
Anyway. email.
Yeah, email time.
All right, so we got an email from Ryan Smiley.
Smiley, it's a cool name. It's
the worst fucking...
I wasn't ready. I was like breathing.
Do it again, Zane.
So we got an email from Ryan Smiley.
Sean Clexon.
And he said, "Hey gang, I just wanted to let you know Ready Player One was required reading and the basis for most of the projects in a class at Clemson University."
Oh my god.
I thought Josh and Sean might get a kick out of that. In case they are curious, the book was received with overwhelmingly positive reviews from the class.
There's like seven
Never things. Go to Clemson.
There are seven things in that sentence that I want to rip apart and shred and put into a crock pot with a nice cream sauce so that...
I didn't know they allowed reading books in the South. Is that a thing that they started?
First of all, required reading of anything published...
Like
in
now,
like
yeah.
recently,
yeah.
is weird. Not like out of the norm.
It's kind of tacky.
That it wasn't posed as
this is how you don't write a book.
How do you? I'm gonna start from a position of objectivity.
Not me.
Which is yeah, please. You know, it sounds to me as though Zane, who wrote this email?
Ryan Smiley.
That it was presented to him and his class of, I don't know.
Students.
Cud-chewing hicks.
Whoa! That's way worse than what I was going to say.
This is... literature.
Eh. Maybe it was like an experiment.
And not that it was to be debated as to the merits, not just of the writing.
Of its existence.
And not just of its existence, but like what it actually says.
I will say, I mean...
Oh, go ahead. Go fucking defend this book, Zane.
We don't know what the context was.
Right. It could have been like...
We don't know what the class was actually focused on.
That's true.
And even though... it was required reading, and even though everyone read it and seemed to enjoy it, we don't know what the context is. I don't know what class this was.
Class here at all.
If it was shitty literature 101,
I'm just
that
saying
makes sense.
It doesn't make the book defensible, but it does. It might sort of put things in perspective.
Nope. I'm sorry.
As to how
there
this
is,
happened.
There
we
is no.
We are basically just getting a little blurb.
There is no defensible world in which Ready Player One is required reading
in college
for collegiate fucking credit. Because I'm going to tell you, people that graduate from this class that have this on their fucking record will go on to be state senators or
maybe.
Leaders of industry.
Perhaps.
Or
we might not have any of those
teachers.
Things.
And I'm gonna go back to this. That book is a piece of fucking shit.
It's not as bad as the second one, though.
Yeah, but it's not like they said that Armada was required reading. Required reading! Required. You have to read Ready Player One to pass
what
the
did
class.
I would like to know what they talked about. Like, I want to know what they talked about. Send more emails about this. Let me sit in.
On a lighter note,
okay.
Ryan wrote us an email last year for Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
And in that email, he mentioned his girlfriend, and he put like a little additional note in this email that his girlfriend is now his fiance. So congratulations, Ryan.
Yeah, congratulations.
That's awesome. That's sweet. But she should know that she's marrying someone that read Ready Player One.
He's on your side, and you read Ready Player One.
Yeah, he hates this every fucking second of it, though.
I'm super tempted to pause this recording to go to Clemson's website
to see
what class requires.
It might not say.
Like maybe
we'll
it's
do
like
a follow up next week.
Maybe it's like
we'll do
like,
some research.
Like a farm, like nitrogen rich manure class.
Is Clemson in South Carolina or in Tennessee? I don't remember.
What's the difference?
Oh my God.
Sherman would know when he was burning that place down.
They wave the flag, man. They wave the rebel flag.
With a rebel yell. I love that song.
Why would you bring up Ready Player One, Zane? You know that angers up my blood.
He's mad.
Twitter.
Now. Facebook. Where's Clemson? No one knows.
It's where Brian Dawkins went.
It is.
Send us emails. We do read them sometimes on air.
Sometimes it makes
don't
us
Don't bring
angry.
Up Ready Player One, please.
No, please do. We
no,
like
don't,
to talk
please
about
don't.
It.
Guys, it's
and,
in South Carolina.
Hit us up on the Twitter. Hit us up on Twitter's at Cracking Spine.
At Cracking Spine.
Email us. Facebook.
Josh, what's the email?
CrackingTheSpinePod@gmail.gov.
CrackingTheSpineShow@gmail.com. Our Reddit is Cracking the Spine Pod.
Zane, are you deliberately staying away from the controversy of talking about Ready Player One?
Guys, it's in South Carolina.
I just
look.
I hate being yelled around.
I'm not.
So I'm done with it. But good talk.
But you've read it. Did you read that book?
She didn't read it.
Why would I read it?
You should.
All you guys ever do is
because it's required reading at Clemson. Because everybody apparently used to read that book to graduate from college in fucking South Carolina.
Please reach out to us. We love you. Sorry for the long weeks.
Fuck you, Ernest Cline.
Give us topics. Send us love. We're always here. At least I am.
Yay! Well, you live in this house, dude.
And we'll be back. We love you.
We do. It's true.
Bye.
Special everything.
'em out. Books. Check 'em out. At your library.